Welcome to the second edition of the This Is Happening Leeds podcast. Today I am joined by Nathan Clark from the Brunel Social Club. Hello, Nate.
Hello.
By Nick Simcock, who is from Dead Young Records in Oporto and Felfoot Sound and many other streams to your bow.
Yeah, hello. Yeah.
And Dan Adele again from Hide and Seek.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, nice to see you. So today we've got a few things on our list. We'll try and talk about things that we maybe did last time a bit. So we're going to focus a bit on festivals. That seems to be the thing for the minute. I think, Dan, you've been to every festival going.
Well, recently. Yeah, I've been keeping myself busy. I've not made it to any gigs, but I think every weekend for the last month's been occupied by a festival.
Yeah, and Nate, even you had a festival here at the weekend, pretty much.
Punk rock and beer.
Out of spite.
Not wrong with that.
What number out of Spike Festival was it?
13.
I think I went to like 4 and 5.
It's a lot older than most other festivals.
Yeah.
On the circuit.
Yeah. And Nick, you put on a festival recently.
Yeah, me and Adam from British Wildlife Festival put on this year's Felfoot Sound.
Yeah. So we'll try and talk a bit about them and a few others. And I was going to open with a question of what we've all been doing recently, but we've kind of just said that.
We've all been in fields. Brought a field in here.
You've been in fields, Nate's been in the Brunel, yeah. And I was in a town square in Italy at a music festival, which...
I think you'd win.
Yeah, well... As mentioned earlier, I had gelato and espresso while watching bands. But I don't know where to start. Should we start with Felfoot Sound? Because yeah. You put it on and Dan, you were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was it?
Well, I mean, he sat next to me, so I can't say it.
Be brutal, Dan. I've only got your questionnaire.
No, it was good. It was nice, small, communal thing. The great thing about it was there was only, how many people? 200, 300 there?
Yeah, a couple of hundred, and then the bands and people on top.
And with the one stage, it meant you got to see every single band, so it was kind of challenging in that aspect that you found yourself watching a band even if it might not necessarily be a thing, so people are finding new music that way. But then the smallness of it meant it had a great atmosphere and everyone was chatting to each other and making friends and all that, so...
Yeah, that definitely seems to be one of the main positives that came out of it. Some people liked all the acts and liked that they got to see all the acts, some people just liked the music that they're into. But everyone seemed to have their eyes opened a little bit to at least one or two acts. And then everyone just said how bloody nice it was, to be honest. Yeah, the weather was pretty kind to us, apart from it timed itself pretty well after Cowtown's set.
So who played this year? Cowtown headlined one day?
Yeah, Thomas Truax played, yeah. Hey Chalet from Sheffield Skylarkin, and then lots of new bands like Dancing Years, Witch Hunt, people like that. Yeah. Ikestra played, they opened the Saturday.
Oh right.
They were really, really good.
Yeah, so. We needed more stuff from Rich them last month, I think, didn't we?
Ikestra, great band.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, it was a good balance. I mean, in the afternoon you had your like Harry Ridgway's and stuff, you had kind of acoustic stuff, but then at night you had your Cowtown, Skylarkin, and there were bands like Nope, so there was a really good mix of things.
I think that the key point is it rubs off on Adam's more eclectic taste.
Yeah, I had to rein him in a little bit, but at the same time, I like all types of music, so
I mean,
it kind
I think
of
that,
allowed
I think
me
the
to
point
indulge.
Is it really... It was a real good blend, and that the working together, you could see from the outset that where, you know, he's still got some very wild things that people enjoy, and I think that adds to the festival as much as you do, and I think that it's a great partnership. It was the one festival I wanted to go to.
I got a text off you when I was there, and like off quite a lot of people, and there was loads of people who couldn't make it, and that almost meant as much as all the people who'd come. Like, a lot of people seemed to be really, really positive about it, even though they weren't there.
Yeah.
Because they sort of saw the relationship between me and Adam. It just sort of worked. It was sort of... They'd sort of been missing something the year before. Because I'd gone with a band the year before, and I'd got there and I was like, this place is amazing. There's some great bands playing. Why isn't there more of a buzz about this? And then he'd ask me, completely separate to that, he didn't even know that I had those thoughts, but he'd very much come at me and gone, oh... Would you like to do the marketing on this?
I think aside musically, people who went there said, you know, we went away for a walk for a few hours.
Yeah,
it's a great place in the world.
That was the total difference. Whereas a lot of festivals that do happen in fields in the middle of the countryside, are kind of...
You're completely remote.
Yeah, and you are in fields, and you can go for a walk, but you're just going over hills.
Yeah, within 5 minutes, you can go and have Sunday lunch, you can go to a National Trust park, or you can be stood in the middle of a lake, sort of thing, and people loved that.
It definitely seemed the vibe, like, from what I heard of people going, that it was a bit like Leeds goes to the seaside. I mean, not the seaside, Leeds goes to the Lake District. It was just...
Yeah,
you know, you could have done that gig in the Brunel, like, but you didn't,
the Lake District. We could have fit the whole cast in the main
carry on.
Film.
Yes. That might be the theme next year.
Adam Nodmo as a bus driver and you was a conductor.
Oh my god. It wasn't far off that dynamic, to be honest, at certain points. But no,
who's Coach Williams and who's Sid James?
Well, yeah, exactly. I think we'll probably argue about that.
Yeah.
But no, it was great and it was really nice to see the support. And yeah, I mean, half the bands were from Leeds, but then half the bands were from London and further afield and stuff like that. But then that sort of reflected in the crowd. There was a big Leeds crowd, but also it was kind of nice looking at, you know, you look at your ticket list and stuff like that and seeing like, oh wow, people have come from Glasgow and people have come from Brighton to bought a ticket and things like that. And so there was a family came from Belgium.
Yeah.
With like kids and stuff like that, and they absolutely loved it. They were at the front taking pictures of Witch Hunt and stuff like that. It was really funny.
Oh, that sounds great, and I wish I'd gone. But so this weekend we had Out of Spite at the Brunel. So who played that? I remember.
Oh,
I can't even remember who I've seen.
Hard skin. Classic Oi.
Yeah. I'm sure I've seen Leatherface. Leatherface reformed about three times.
A Page of Punk from Japan.
Really?
Who played it last year? Happening because they were already in the UK and accidentally played it, but because they were so popular, they got asked back and routed their tour to Europe around playing Out of Spite.
Really?
If you don't know what Out of Spite is, it is a pure punk rock, good old time festival.
Yeah.
It's great.
Started at the Well, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
And then did it take a few years break?
Take a few years break, and then they had a 30 fest here, and then returned back here last year.
Is it across the full weekend then?
Yeah.
One stage, two?
Two stages on Saturday. Yeah, it was one of the funnest all day double kind of weekenders that I've ever done.
Yeah,
it's just really we timed it. We got on like 12 ales and got
you a lot of beers. Extra
we put another 7 cask ales taps on, and we got them to pick the beer list, and it was ridiculous. I mean, there were 10% beers everywhere.
Can we do that for this festival that we're doing in the future?
Speak about that
later. I've made it down it, but I remember at the Well, like, there used to be this joke that they used to run out of beer at like 4 p.m. Like on the Saturday.
It's the same problem. We actually had that problem at Fellfoot Sound. Yeah. We got in 2 kegs of ale and loads of cases of bottles of real ale, and we didn't know if we'd sell it on by 4 p.m. on the Saturday. We'd sold out both kegs and all the bottles.
But aside from that, it's just the atmosphere of that kind of fun and punk rock. It is just different to most other. And the thing about it is, it's very little populated by Leeds. It's people come from everywhere. I'm just surprised how communal it is.
Because communal's the word. Because I was going to say, like, it's a massive community, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's great.
The bands like come from all over, and it's people who've moved around. Like, yeah. I remember going back to like Spy versus Spy and the Wow, and like bands that started in Leeds and then have moved to like all over the UK. And then Out of Spite always used to be the thing that like brought them all back together.
And I'm just surprised. Not surprised. It kind of. It's just it's one of the weekenders now that I kind of look forward to and will support regardless. It's great.
No, I'm good. I can go. Maybe I'll come to later. I've not been around for a month, really, which is quite amusing doing this podcast. But you were at Why Not last weekend.
That's just above the town where I come from, Ashbourne in Derbyshire. And it was originally set up by some lads in the year below at school.
Oh really? I know you got like close to the festival. I didn't realise it was like that kind of.
Yeah. How did it start? It was one of them was having a party when he was in sixth form, because his parents were going away, and it was all going to be in his garden, and they were going to have a few bands on, and then his parents decided they weren't going away, but he'd invited all his mates, and he didn't want to like embarrass himself and cancel, so he moved it to a local quarry, and then they had a good time and thought they'd do it again. And it's just gradually got bigger and bigger each year. I think it sold out 8,000 people this year, and the Cribs headlined. The Cribs actually said afterwards on their Twitter and everything it was one of their favourite gigs ever. So
nice.
So yeah, they've done well.
So how's that compared to other like similar festivals? So I guess we've got two small festivals in Felford and our spite of Brunel. That's like 8,000. So what is that? I guess on a par with things like Truck Fest, because are they linked with Truck now? That's right.
Yeah, these guys also run Truck Fest as well now. So, yeah,
and I guess that's similar to Beacons. Must be similar.
Yeah,
maybe quite a bit more. Yeah,
I think Beacons is maybe 6,000-7,000.
I met a guy in Lee Fest. Have you ever heard of Lee Fest?
Yeah.
I met that guy.
That grew in a similar way.
Yeah, exactly. He did it in his back garden.
They've done a Kickstarter or something for that, though, haven't they, now?
I don't know about this year. I know he did it.
Yeah, they made the total, though.
He made it in his back garden the first year. Yeah. It was like, it was just...
It's literally, the logo is a line drawing of his face, sort of. So I don't know if it's a massive ego thing, but it seems to do really, really well.
He's got a real, you know, how they want to do it and all this... style of bands that they do, but fair play to them. It's great to show what kind of comes out of having a laugh.
It's growing it naturally.
Seems to be loads of little festivals popped up around, like around Yorkshire. But there was this thing in Keighley at the weekend called the Air Do, which was seemed like quite a family thing. Yeah, but it had Revenant and the Makers at headline, which. You know, why not the coolest thing? Sort of like, well, there must be some money there, but, you know, like people go.
Yeah, but you even look at Goldtares, it's on the same.
Yeah, Goldtares.
I mean, it's what, 35 minutes from Leeds? It's on the same weekend as Leeds Festival.
Yeah.
And yet, virtually sells out every year.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, people don't discuss that, but it's there.
Yeah, I remember DJing at Lime Tree Festival a few years ago, and that's the same weekend as Reading and Leeds Festival and Galtres again, sort of thing, and it's obviously a different sort of market.
Yeah.
But that's like 2,000 people, and that was selling out.
But so, there is a massive explosion in the smaller, between, I don't know, 2,000 and 10,000, you know, rather than the 80,000.
Yeah, I think people prefer that sort of thing, unless it's Glastonbury for me. I think there's a big
dynamic to be discussed further down the line, as in, is there realistically the headliners in 5 years to headline Glastonbury or Leeds and Reading or V Festival?
It was very strange being at the Leeds Festival announcement, because I was there with Witch Hunt, who I work with, and hearing Melvin Benn talking about like how he doesn't listen to any music unless it's like been released in the last year, and how exciting it is to listen to new music. But then every headliner on his bills been going for 10 years.
Yeah, I think the interesting point you've got to think is that there's no super bands anymore, and that's the internet and diversity.
Well, there's the old super bands, and that's it, and they're dying out.
Yeah, so how do you get somebody that attracts, you know, pre kind of that and the Killers and stuff like that? Where do you go for your next? Apart from Mumford and something.
Well, they've been moving into the pop stuff, haven't they? Glastonbury and V Festival this year.
But once you don't get them, how do you appeal to the rock bit? I don't know where for major festivals.
I think rock music isn't as big as a whole thing, is it? So the bigger festivals are diversified, and the smaller festivals concentrate on the rock music and are doing it right at about 5,000 to 10,000 people. And I think people prefer.
But that's why I'm saying I think there's been an explosion in them, in the smaller festivals.
Yeah. Because the Cribs can sell out a 8,000 capacity festival and everyone will enjoy it.
Well, that's the thing I realised recently, though. Like, a lot of bands now that, like, I've grown up with, like, in the lap, are on their fourth, fifth, sixth album, who've been around for, like, 8, 9, 10 years. Whereas 8, 9, 10 years ago, when I was, like, in my early 20s, like, there were no bands on their third, fourth album, because they'd all done one or two and then been dumped, and there was no hope for them. Yeah. Or they'd, like, done three or four and carried themselves through, like, that kind of non-space of music that was, like, the early noughties. Whereas, like, now it's weird, there's quite a few bands on, like, 4, 5, 6, like, Franz, Block Party. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, those bands aren't big enough to kind of, like, headline, but Biffy were the one that brought it to mind. Like, is it his 6th or 7th album or something?
Yeah.
And it's only in the last 2 or 3 years that you would even entertain the idea, I think, that they would headline a festival. Yeah, it kind of seems like quite a, you know, makes a sense choice.
They're about as big as it gets.
Exactly, it's still
in Reading and Leeds terms.
But are they big enough now? Because it doesn't sell out immediately like it used to. And
no,
it's surely that's more of an economic climate type thing. But I mean, tickets are like £1 million.
And that's another issue why these bands could struggle. These festivals could struggle
Well, partly people are less ignorant, I think. I mean, you were saying about the internet allows people to know about bands.
No, this is what...
But it also affects people knowing about festivals. I mean, I could look at the Reading and Leeds Festival lineup, or I could look at the V Festival lineup, and if I grew up in the north, I'd be like, well, those are the two festivals that I can afford to get to, and I know about. But then now you go on the internet and you go, well, all those bands are play, all those bands and more are playing in Poland for half the price, and the beer's cheaper, and I can get out there for the cost of the difference. And it's a bit more of a holiday sort of thing. That's how I got involved with Betty Kassim Festival years ago and started doing some work for them. Then all my friends started going to. It's like, oh, we can go to Spain.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't rain, and all the same bands are playing, well, sort of thing.
And the big thing I was going to say is less knobheads.
Well, which is that Benny Kassim sort of went.
Well, yeah, you know, Benny Kassim maybe the
not perfect, perfect example.
Benny Kassim maybe not the perfect example, but that's the thing. Like Ness Nobbins, which I think is the other big thing, is that, you know, up until the age of 18, you can't go abroad and you just want to go and be a knobhead. Whereas like from 18-year-old, you're not, and you know all these like boutique-y festivals like up to 10,000, they're more family friendly. Like you were saying about Deer Shed, but like I went to Latitude last year and I couldn't believe like the kind of different atmosphere there was, like
was
people being
well.
Happy, you, like, you know, there was lots of happy people and like kids under the age of 12.
It feels like I'm at Latitude.
Yeah,
it feels a little bit sanitised. I feel.
Yeah, but I'm happy with it.
I've gone past that stage now.
I don't want someone burning the tent next to me.
Well, that's the whole point.
I won't be camping at Leeds Festival this year.
I want to wake up and be able to get a good breakfast, get a shower, and enjoy it. I'm happy with that.
Well, that's kind of my point. You're basically saying the festivals that don't provide that are basically appealing to people under 21 or slightly insane.
Who don't know any better.
Yeah. Maybe we need to get one of them into this programme to argue against.
Yeah, why it's good. Like, what if someone under 21? Yeah. Like, this is why I love going.
That shit. Simple.
Funky croissants.
Yeah.
They're coming.
Steady. That's the roundup. Anything else? Anything interesting you've picked up from your travels, Dan? Then in your
I want to mention Edwin Collins at Deer Shed. Out of all the festivals I've been to, that was just an absolute highlight. I mean, everything he's been through in the last few years. So I think he's had two brain hemorrhages, left him without
stroke.
Yeah, I'm not sure which, but yeah. I mean, he was unable to move half his body, couldn't read, write, speak. And then to see him, I think he ended with Rip It Up and Start Again.
And he stood up.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's brilliant. Smile. And then A Girl Like You, and he was just swinging his walking stick around his head. He had thousands of people in a field in Yorkshire just like having a great time. And it was just, I don't know, without sounding cheesy, it was just quite an inspiring moment.
Yeah, humbling.
Yeah.
He's one of my all-time heroes. Not heroes, because I don't really think it's heroes, but he's one of the people that you aspire to kind of go, if you're going to be like somebody, that's kind of what you want to be like. Because he's been an inspiration to loads of bands and musicians, but also he's kind of personal, you know. I don't know, he's just a real inspiration to anyone that I can, you know. I can't explain it. He's pretty special.
His last two albums are really good as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just look at how he collaborated on the previous one.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got virtually everyone.
Who's there? There's Ryan Jarman, Johnny Marr, guys from France.
It's
great.
It's just all the people he's influenced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all the old Postcard Records kind of, you know, things. And I think it's just, the other thing about it, it's still a very family unit. You know, you've still got Grace, his wife, managing him and looking after him and helping him on the back, kind of in the background. But then you've got, you know, his son
coming along to play on
stuff, and I don't know, it's all the old band who would play with him, or you know, sometimes Paul Cuckle joining on drums from the Sex Pistols, Roddy Frame will turn up sometimes and play with him. It's a totally kind of, I don't know, it's a great thing, that's all I can say.
Yeah. I mean, that new material, that, I mean, it left him unable to play his guitar and stuff, so he's able to make new material that's brilliant, yet he can't create that music himself. He has to get that idea across to a musician to be able to create that
for him. The point is, he's still doing all the other thing to admire is he's still doing all the recording, production in his studio, in his house, you know. He's still...
A lot of people would give up a lot easier with them.
Oh yeah, I mean, even stuff like his many boyfriends and things like that he's gone and done, you know. locally. So it's not like he's got a real affinity with Leeds as well, and a lot of people in around West Yorkshire. I think it's kind of, it's a real hot spot for him as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see him again, so if you can sort that out, please.
Go on, Nathan.
He was here a few months ago.
I couldn't make it.
Sorry.
That's why I went and saw the shed.
But yeah, he's a legend.
Nice one. So, I reckon we can take a little break there. That's like Roundup of Festivals doing. When we come back after a little short bit of music, we can talk about some festivals that are coming up. Welcome back to the second part of the This Is Happening podcast. We've just been talking about all the festivals we've been to over the last few weeks. What about the festivals that are coming up? I think the next one is going to be Beacons Festival week, not this weekend, next weekend, the weekend of the 16th, 17th, 18th. Who's going?
Yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, Nick. Hopefully going for the Sunday to see Django.
Yeah.
I think I'm going Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not.
That's a good mix of people.
It's my birthday the weekend. So
is it?
Yeah, so I'm not going to go. Even though they've been very gracious, Ash said, come along and you can have a beer on Sunday, but I just like the idea of travelling will be too much for me. So, what do you reckon? So, who's playing Beacons then? We've got Django, we've got
Bonobos, the other headline.
That's the Friesian
local native.
Yeah, local native.
Which I thought was a bit of a funny one for a headliner for that festival. I know they're good and they're pretty big sort of thing, but I didn't think they were headliner sort of material.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a real diverse mix. I think it's good.
It seems to be working.
I mean you've got
it's a diverse mix from like local in inverted mark bands right up, you know, the mix of all kind of quality.
Yeah, I think it's
is good.
I think some real, I think even stuff like Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats, you know.
Mm.
Wire,
yeah
there's a
little quality pickings and like flex in there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah
that appeal to what I would, but then again you've got the other stuff that appeal to other. I think it's a really well kind of put together lineup.
Well yeah, I like the idea you've got like you've got local natives,
you've
and
Subtract as well.
Well that's what I was going to say, yeah. You've got local natives and more like guitar-y things. It's all nice and it's all kind of nicey-nice and it's but interesting. But then you've got Bonobo, which is like, it's nicey-nice, put it like a little bit down that electro route.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like if you want to lose your shit, you've got Subtract.
Well yeah, on my way here, Hugh Stevens played a song by Dan Kroll.
Yeah.
Like, quite nice, summery, folky, sort of. It's kind of like a sort of Liverpudlian Phoenix sort of thing. And then he started talking about Beacons Festival, literally in the car on the way here. But he was talking about other people who are playing, he was talking about like hip hop people who are playing, and then he was talking about like Fucked Up are playing. Mm. And it's like, that is really, really diverse. Yeah.
For a small festival?
Yeah, for a still quite small festival sort of thing. And that's definitely admirable.
I guess that's the way it's come across, because I remember I haven't been to last year, did Beacons happen? Or was
yeah, last year was the first year.
Yeah,
the year before
was when it got cancelled, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I only went to the last year of Moorfest, and it was mental, eclectic.
That was really like segregated. It felt like two festivals happening at the same time.
It still is a little bit like that, but it was always like there's the band tent, and then there's the local band tent, and then there's the dance tent at the end of the field.
And those people
did not mix.
Well, the problem,
maybe in the pizza queue, and that was
I
about
remember
it.
Going to a new place.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. But the problem as well was it's like not only there were like real practical reasons why they never met, but it was because the middle in between all these tents was a mud bath as well.
Yeah.
It was like the idea of actually going from one tent to another was kind of logistically impossible.
I remember leaving you on that Sunday night, Saturday night, and your car was going to be pulled by a tractor or something.
Yeah, no, I think we did.
And I just drove off.
That community vibe that I was in as well. I enjoyed it the year that Beast and King Creosote played when it was more fest and stuff like that.
That was it.
Was that the same year, wasn't
it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was it.
You were on the Bouncy Castle when he was on.
Yeah.
Did you?
They played the Friday, didn't they?
Yeah, they played the Friday.
Yeah, because we only went on the Saturday, I can't remember why, and we spent nearly the whole, because it was pissing it down, the whole time in the van. And I don't think we. I watched Mickey Kerr, I remember that, and somebody else.
It really did rain.
It rained a lot. It always rained.
Yeah.
Wonder what'll happen this year.
But yeah, Beacons seems to be
It rained a lot last year and it survived.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time in the White Locks tent, sheltering and drinking quality beer.
Well, I mean, the food, that's another thing, like, the food thing, they seem to have really, really got nailed, you know, with, I mean, obviously, like, the whole thing is trying to go with kind of, like, local independent brands, but getting sort of Red's Barbecue and Lane's Coffee and things like that, it's really bringing that side. I mean, Leeds seems to be doing quite well on that over the last few years, kind of independent kind of food shops. I mean, I was in Hepworth's Deli today, and the guys from Lane's were in there picking up sandwiches. I appreciate I've gone off piece of the music here, but
no, there definitely does seem bad. I think that's the independent scene in Leeds is great at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's attracted. Everything. I think it's attracted more attractive to the festival as a whole.
Mm.
Them little bits that we were talking about earlier about other festivals and why the small ones are working. I think they've got that little box ticked.
Exactly, but in a very cool way as well. Yeah. You know, and kept it and got a community like vibe of Leeds, which I guess is the whole point.
I suppose rather than going for the we could get sponsored by Starbucks and they'll just take care of it all and pay us some money sort of thing, it's people curating the food and the drink and stuff like that. That's what I enjoyed with Felfoot Sound.
Yeah.
The fact that I can go like, oh, I want to have that beer on.
Yeah.
I don't want to sell Carlsberg or what have you sort of thing. Because at the end of the day, when my festival closes, I don't want to have a can of Carlsberg from my bar. So.
I mean, last year's lineup, when I look at it, was I look back and he had Cloud Nothings on and, you know, who else did I watch?
I remember watching Japan Droids with you.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it was a good weekend.
That's why I think it's a great, like I say, it's great different flex of all different things that have added up to a quality lineup overall.
So from Beacons to Leeds Fest.
the one that has Carlsberg.
That's got flex on it.
But alright, let's start beginning, because
that is purely about bands, isn't it? And that was kind of the point that Melvin Penn made when the lineup announcement.
Yeah.
It's just like, we're not about anything else, we're just about rock music.
And the Strongbow tent, and or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's like periphery stuff that, you know, pays for it sort of thing. They're just there about putting on
look at the lineup.
No, it's going to get the lineup. But you know, the thing with Leeds Fest, so last time we were talking about the Fury Sound competition, local battle bands, six bands to get through. There'd been like a couple of heats, I think, by the time we last spoke. It's all finished now. Six bands are playing. One of them's Witch Hunt, Nick.
Yeah.
You manage.
I couldn't really be. Well, yeah, I released them on my label and management and
look
stuff like that.
Yeah. So he's sorted himself a free.
So you're sorted out.
Well, yeah, so I'm going to go for the first time.
Bit of an insight. How's that working out? Like, how was the Future Sound process with Witch Hunt?
Future Sound's a very strange thing for me because Future Sound is Future Sound, and I used to work at Students' Union. We used to do a battle bands, and we used to put it on at quite time of year because it brings people in, and that's exactly what they do. And you know, as long as you look past, like, this, you know, you can't be too cynical about it. If you want to enter it and you think you've got a chance, then enter it, and there's really good prizes at the end of it. And don't be in any doubt about the fact that you'll have to slightly sell yourself in order to get to that place.
But the thing I always say about
you've got to bring people and you've got to earn.
I think that is though. I think it's kind of like, you know, you kind of, it's a better prize than the standard band Battle of the Bands.
Oh, that's why they can ask that of the bands who play sort of thing.
My defence of Future Sound is also always that you generally end up throwing good bands together, which can make new a lot of new relationships as well. Like, I think it's slightly diminished by having 97 bands playing and it being 12 bands in a gig.
Yeah.
But I think like the Witch Hunt gig was still like relatively decent. The other bands you played with, I think I know a couple of
them. I was working, so I literally not there for them. Did you see any of the other bands?
The one band who were very kind of ocean colour scene cast.
Oh right.
I remember a lot of people talked about the Battle Lions, who went on to be the overall winners in the end. The Battle Lions heat also had Modo Stare, who went through. I think All Us on Drugs were in that heat as well.
That's another one, you know.
A very, very strong gig, albeit an eclectic one. But well, I mean, All Us on Drugs apparently were one of the people who could have nearly got through, sort of thing. But I mean, it's the fallout of it for us has been great, because Witch Hunt are playing the BBC introducing stage. They got to meet Melvin Benn at the launch and the bookers and stuff like that. And then since, presumably, they've been bumped up the BBC introducing uploader because they're playing their stage.
Right, yeah.
Hugh Stevens, producer, listened to the track last week, and they're Hugh Stevens' tip of the week on Radio 1 tomorrow.
Wicked.
Well,
which I presume has come out of that sort of momentum build, so I couldn't curse the process at all, because it's taken them and put them in front of a wider audience, even if that wider audience so far is literally just the right people at Radio 1.
Yeah, well, that's not
but you can't really ask any more than that.
I've got, I've you know, I've, in the past and stuff, bands sort of said, oh, you know, how do you make it out of it? And I said, you know, just bloody enjoy the weekend and everything. Yeah. But also, it's something for the... It's a bit of a CB press thing as well. I'm not quite sure. Like, the weekend, I'm not sure how many new fans you're going to gain over the weekend. Like, how many you're going to...
Yeah, you're playing early on a small stage. Yeah, but you're going to meet a lot of people.
Year, exactly,
that's why it's better. I think it's better for the bands that haven't actually won, because Battle Lines have won, they're opening the Festival Republic stage. Whereas Witch Hunt could be like later on in the afternoon on the BBC Introducing, which gets through traffic. And
well, then you just get those BBC connections. The Festival of Public Stage, I can't think of anything you'll get apart from being on a bigger stage and getting the kudos from that.
But is it the Festival of Republic? Because last year it was the Radio 1, wasn't it? It's gone back to Festival of Public.
Which,
it was a bit mental last year.
It's difficult to get people out at 12 o'clock to like Festival of Public.
But at least the BBC are going to, I mean, they've already informed us that the BBC are going to record Witch Hunt's set, and it's going to get played on Saturday night, presumably on BBC Leeds, but maybe on the wider BBC and stuff like that. And that's amazing. That presumably that wouldn't happen if they'd actually gone on and played the Festival of Public Stage. So.
The weird thing is, back in the day, you always used it before they had the Introducing Stage. The winners got to play open the Festival Republic, and the other five bands all played like the cabaret stage. And that was always between kind of 12 and 2. It was never later in the day. So every band always had that struggle of kind of trying to get people, to come out early and see them. So yeah, it's been quite novel, like seeing like whole bills of like local bands. But
yeah,
there seems to be this weird tension as well with who the BBC want to book and who Future Sound want to put through. Because someone else sort of announced, as soon as they found out they weren't going to win, Future Sound kind of announced that they were playing BBC Introducing.
I think that's the old Raw Talent, or something like that. There used to be so many slots for that.
Yeah,
wasn't it three? Didn't Vibrations? No, Sandman. So that's what we used to split between Sandman and Future Sound and Raw Talent.
Raw Talent or something. But the thing is that I think if you get picked for Raw Talent first, you kind of step down from Future Sound.
Yeah, well, Ellen and the Escapades did. Ellen and the Escapades. Ellen and the Escapades were in the Future Sound competition a few years ago and pulled out halfway through because they got word from
even if the player, they still play the gig or whatever.
So who else got through? So Battle Lines won the whole thing. Did anyone catch that? Anyone catch Battle Lines?
No, I didn't.
I've seen them a number of times.
I heard very good reviews of that gig.
So. Yeah, well, their heat was three of the potential people to go through, and two people went through from that one heat. Because there was Modo Stare, which is a number of members of which band? I can't remember. They've sort of done well before.
Members of other bands?
Yeah.
Fix.
Heresy.
I don't know.
They speak like the Grand, didn't they?
Yeah, the Grand. Yeah. They've been around for a little while.
And that's good because they got really close last year, I think.
And they're a really good band. And everyone who went to that heat that I know said that they were absolutely bang on.
I'm really pleased with them. I've been helping them out a little bit, but I noticed a few people going, you know, we don't know who these bands are. It's like, well, that's the point. And it's also like, well, they have been playing gigs around, you know, it's not like they're...
And it's called the Future Sound sort of thing, you know, it's all sort of in the name. It's BBC Introducing it, it's Future Sound, and it's bands that should be brought to more people's attention, and that's definitely something which it allows to happen sort of thing, albeit through a slightly crazy process of some people picking people to go into heats and then packing it out with their mates a little bit, but
still works quite well. So anyone else at Leeds Fest of interest?
Well, with the Thursday night lineup's pretty good.
The Dance to Radio lineup.
How'd you feel about that? Did you create that?
Well, yeah, the first year they did that, it was me and the booker talking about it, and then I was in Seattle recording a Ford Rusher album, and I spoke to the guys back in Leeds and said we'd fallen out already. It was already like Ford Rusher and Fortune and Dance to Radio were already kind of on a bit of tender grounds, but I was, you know, still talking to him with it being my label and everything. This sounds far too complicated to go into. But anyway, so Leeds Festival said, oh, should we do Dance to Radio on a Thursday night? And I was talking about it, and I said, oh, we should let the guys in Leeds at Future Sound basically look after it. And then I never got talked about it again.
And then you signed it off.
I signed, that was it at that point. And
Well, to be fair, after that, I think within the year, I wasn't involved in Dance to Radio anymore. But the weird thing this year, I saw this, like, I just saw a headline today, Dance to Radio announced Thursday night at Leeds Fest. It's like, who's that? Like, because as far as I'm aware, there isn't anyone running Dance to Radio at the minute. There's no one involved in it. But I guess if listeners aren't aware that Dance to Radio has been sort of run within Future Sound for a few years.
I don't think people care generally.
No, it's true. I care. I don't care. I just find it funny.
Sorry,
but it's true.
I think you could put, you know.
But the point is, why don't you put something else?
Well, why, yeah, exactly.
That's why. Sounds present. You know what I mean? And people wouldn't know. They just look at the lineup and the bands, and they're going Thursday night, and they're getting drunk, and they're having fun.
Actually, that's the weird thing. What's the point in propagating promotion for a brand that kind of doesn't?
It's a little bit of a waste of promoting something that's Leeds, loads of Leeds bands.
Exactly.
Check out this Leeds stage, and then it's something which doesn't actually.
Well, actually, you know, and we could be hypothesising. You know,
you might sell loads of stuff from your back catalogue as a result, so it'd be fine.
Well, I wouldn't see anything from that. Dance the Radio might be about to relaunch. You know, we might not know.
True.
We might not, you know, I might.
Well, that's
I
what. That's why for the label discussion that. Next.
Yeah, though, so we talk about labels next month. That's one. But anyway, we digress into
we should mention
relative slander.
The first
we should mention who played, because it is a really good lineup.
It is, yeah.
So Hookworms, Menace Beach, Blackmore.
Can we start calling them the Hookworms? Because I reckon that's going to really piss Matt off if we start referring to them as the Hookworms.
They're definitely the new The Band.
Yeah, the Hookworms, the Menace Beach.
Blackmore.
And then
Menace Beach is in Menace Beach.
And then amusingly there's Crooks, which is an area of Sheffield, but they're called the Crooks.
Oh, the Crooks, yeah.
And they're playing that stage.
Yeah. Is it sort of Chunkles as well then?
Yeah, so there's sort of a Manchester band, a Sheffield band, and then loads of really good new Leeds.
Which is really interesting, lots of bands with kind of independent connections are like, you know, Dr. Uncles, like I've got a manager, everyone can reach out to, otherwise of the Crooks. So yeah, it's a good lineup, isn't it? Any other bands people interested in at Leeds Fest?
I think the main stage never really appeals to me that much at that festival, but I sort of find that with a lot of the bigger festivals anyway. But lower down, there's definitely a lot of exciting stuff playing.
I actually don't mind the lineup lower down.
That's what I mean. As soon as you get past the main stage, it's actually quite a cool little festival.
You know,
I wouldn't pay £200 to watch the people on the second stage.
Yeah, but
it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You can go see these bands play higher up later on in the evening at a smaller festival.
With other people who are there just for them.
For me, there are some the big bands on the second stage that I think you'd only see. Like, I think Phoenix is quite a cool one, and even there's a few. I've sort of flirted around going for a few years, and I've generally gone for like 2 hours.
I mean, you look at how big Alt J have become.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts that they're headlining the second stage.
It is insane. You know, I look at 18 months ago, and they were halfway down a bill here.
2 years ago, I saw them at Left Bank.
Yeah, they were doing gigs at the library's films, weren't they?
Well, they played the opening day of Constellations Festival,
exactly.
Didn't they? Not
halfway,
headlining
halfway
on the Friday, on the free day, or whatever it was.
Yeah, and it's crazy how you got, you know, Mercury on and how it's grown, and they sold out Academy.
Yeah, those tickets were gold dust for the Academy, and the cockpit ones were even crazier.
But you know, to go real like in-depth industry level, you know, that team behind them and Local Natives and Temper Trap, those are bands that don't overexpose themselves but manage to sell a lot of records. Like
they're on every advert and stuff like that. Okay, it's kind of blanket, but
on a subconscious level almost. And the same with Temper Trap, and the same with Local Natives. You don't see them talking shit in the NME every week and big knobheads or anything. They're just there, and people do buy their records. That record label is run by one of these big A&R guys who's set up again, and Corder Marshall, I think his name is. And you know, they hire all these like really great digital marketing guys and all this. They just seem like they effectively sell a lot of records, like by without making the bands seem like idiots, which I think is probably quite hard nowadays, like making you not hate the bands for being wankers and things like
that.
Yeah,
not selling out, but still selling records.
Yeah, selling, like, yeah, you know. This
is definitely a difficult juggling act, and a lot of the majors fail miserably at that sort of thing.
Well, exactly.
Sometimes it looks like they're selling out and they're still not selling records. There was the big thing about the Johnny Bobble.
Yeah, that's
album
amazing.
Came out recently.
Did you see the press release?
The press release is amazing. Yeah.
Have
you not seen it?
Really, so this is kind of because I know one of his, someone who works for their management company.
Yeah.
But Stiff Records, and they put out a press release just kind of being able to laugh at themselves, saying, yeah, we've sold 597 copies of the record. That's like 0.001% of what Adele sold.
So that's the news story that I saw. I didn't realise it was basically an official press release.
Official press release, yeah.
Like, we're hoping to break the top 100 next week.
Yeah.
For someone who, I mean, basically like one of those bands who were probably headlining Reading in Leeds 5 years ago or something, weren't they? They were definitely there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
In terms of being big indie bands.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, there's so much weird stuff with that band, like the drummer writing all the music and then leaving Andy Burrows in it, and then. But no, I think I guess the thing with Leeds Fest is they seem to have got a few other tents now, haven't they? Because they've sort of separated out the dance tent and the Leeds the dance tent, the lockup tent, and then there's a one extra tent as well.
You look at the lockup tent, and it's everyone that seen Slam Dunk or anything like that would want to see. You look at the Festival Republic stage that I'm looking at, and it's great. It's kind of a load of bands I want to see, from Parquet Courts, Miz Mister, Surfer Blood, Churches.
But
you know.
even the headliners are like relatively interesting for that. Man Kimby.
Yeah, and you're looking at it and going, there, that is a tent that would headline a Beacons.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that would be all them three days bands would be a Beacon or a similar or bigger festival at 10,000 people with one other NME stage band headlining. And I think that the actual festival overall is really well put together and curated, but it's just
it gets lost behind the headliners.
It gets lost behind
which wall
Green Day,
well, you just see Green Day
down Eminem, and you're like, move on.
Yeah, they couldn't be less relevant, could they?
Lower
down, and that was the point that he was making as a festival. It was kind of, he sort of brushed over the fact that the headliners are very sort of old school and like the sort of rock dinosaur sort of thing. But it is very much like every cool new band.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because they've got the power to do that, and they don't spend their money on having like some other entertainment elsewhere. It's just bands. If you look at like anything like Glastonbury, I remember looking at the other stage where I spent a lot of my time when I was at Glastonbury Festival, and it was kind of like, if you just took the other stage and called it Latitude Festival, it made perfect sense sort of thing, to a certain extent sort of thing.
But that's the point about Glastonbury, people go because it's Glastonbury and you can do like everything else. You could have a weekend.
I do think that there's a gap for the end of the roads.
It's a festival that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think that's one of the festivals that caters for
that and Green Man and a few others of that very nice sort of,
but have your Dirty Three sometimes or something like that.
They have the weirdest, like Green Man's great for the fact that it has like super nice stuff, folky stuff on in the day. But then last time I went to Green Man Festival, like the after hours tent was Two Bears and stuff like that, doing like their Bunga Bunga party, and like they had Holy Fuck playing and stuff like that, and there was like children with ear defenders on people's shoulders watching Holy Fuck, and I just thought that was brilliant. And it sort of takes the sort of the family friendliness, but then gives it a sort of bit of an edge to it where it appeals to everyone.
Like I said, I just think that there's. I went to No Direction Home last year.
Which is End of the Road, although.
Yeah,
or was,
that's what it was. But they said they're going to bring it back at some point, but the economic climate, you know, that and Summer Sunday and a few others just said, we're going to take a year out, it's not the right time for people and there's too much going on. But that was the best small festival.
The lineup was fun. They had Andrew Bird and all sorts of people on that lineup, didn't they?
But it was just the whole festival was great, and I thought this is where I kind of want to be as a small festival, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to End of the Road Festival, and the only barrier to that is the fact that it's like almost 300 miles away in Dorset. You couldn't be further away and still be in this country, sort of thing. But it's so good and it's so well done. It's in a beautiful location with amazing acts.
They're the other festivals that I kind of would look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, outside of, like we said, Galtairs and we mentioned them kind of festivals that are local that don't necessarily spring to mind.
I think that's something about festivals that sort of plug into the place that it is in the local community. I guess, as we're saying, and Felford and everything else is you know, like my experience we've touched on is I've been in Italy for most of the last month, and we were staying near a city called Lucca, which is in Tuscany, and it's like a walled city. It's a bit like York, but like a bit smaller. And in the every year, and it's obviously funded by the council or whatever else, I think the tourist board, in their town square, like the equivalent of Millennium Square, they put a massive stage, and they have maybe like 15 gigs over in July. And in the they had Arcade Fire last year. They have, you know, Elton John, like some real Zucchero, big Italian stuff.
Yeah, I saw they had Nick Cave. Did you go to Nick Cave there? So, I saw that in your pictures.
Yes, amazing. This year seems to be the most alternative that I've ever seen it. I've not been to any of the gigs before because we'd either missed the good ones or there wasn't any good ones. I think Lee Ryan played a few years ago. This year they had, we went to see Nick Cave, we went to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse, and we went to see Sigur Rós on different nights. So it's not a festival like we're talking about.
Did Jonathan Wilson play with Crazy Horse, Neil Young?
No, Devendra Bandhart did.
Oh, did it?
I mean, again, you know, Devendra.
Yeah. And we were jumping in on some of the dates as well.
Yeah, it was weird. There weren't very many supports for that. But, you know, so we're not even talking. There was The Killers played, and Leonard Cohen played, and
That's like the size of headliners that you get for the big festivals.
Yeah,
right, that's like the Leeds Arenas.
Yeah, and it's like 10,000 seat square. My point really is that, you know, we're talking about all this stuff, is, you know, they took over this square, and they didn't shut down every business in the square. They didn't put a beer tent in serving Tuborg. It was a celebration of like what was going on in that city.
And it was good for the city.
It was good. And the other thing with the city, it's different. You couldn't, you know, I was saying to me, like, they should do this with Trinity, they should do this. And it's like, yeah, but it's, you know, it's 10:30 at night and it's 32 degrees, you know, it's
not
like that. But they opened all the shops from 9 till midnight. As well, and you know, and yeah,
it's good. I mean, they do that. It's nice that they do that for the Chapel Allerton Arts Festival, which is another random festival.
Actually, that's a great example. Where,
and that's the only time that those shops are open on a blinking Sunday and stuff like that. I live in Chapel Allerton. It's a very strange world.
But that's a really cool idea, because you get all the food outlets and stuff in Chapel Allerton come out on the street, don't they? That's what this place was like. So, you know, like everything that's in that square, the pizzerias, the restaurants, the coffee shops. There's a great place doing like focaccia and focaccia sandwiches and stuff, a gelateria. You know,
getting
they're all
pretty
just,
jealous.
Sorry. They're all just there, like selling their stuff. So
and that's
people,
good. Yeah.
People walking around with like these like made focaccias. And
I bet a lot of people from the local area come out no matter what band's on and just absorb the atmosphere. And
that was kind of obvious when Nick Cave was on.
I mean, I watched Nick Cave last minute before Mumford and Sons, and there's a lot of people there for Nick Cave, but it was very obvious that Nick Cave was shouting at a lot of Mumford and Sons fans to great effect.
I don't think it was that bad, because I guess at Glastonbury there were a lot of Mumford and Sons fans.
It wasn't
right
as bad as I thought it would be. There was a lot of like
my sister was there as well. She was telling me same thing.
How much did it cost ticket wise on these?
It was I think for Neil Young it was 50 to 55 quid like with, you know, conversion ticket fees.
It's still cheap.
It was 35 quid. Yeah, it was 35 quid for Nick Cave and Sigur Rós. But it's weird, there's like no supports and everything. So like we went for a nice meal and then just walked in and it's there. But again, it's like you never find in this country like it being brave enough to like, you've got a blanket venue. You've got a blanket venue and they're just putting good acts in there.
So
you know, the difference between how many people are going to go see Neil Young and they're going to see Sigur Rós is relatively massive. But that obviously wasn't a problem. You know.
But that's kind of like doing Millennium Square, but instead of doing the vaccines, doing something really.
You'd have the vaccines on one day, but then you do something like
Neil Young on the other.
There's something really kind of challenging.
Yeah, well, challenging as well.
Doing like the horrors and a curated lineup on there, like they did for the Warehouse. The Warehouse project is quite a good example, actually. They've just released their lineups.
Yeah.
And they do like the really commercial, dancey ones, and then they'll have, there's ones curated by The Knife. And stuff
I haven't seen that.
It's their first show outside London.
I've seen them twice.
I saw them in Belgium a few years ago and it was amazing.
Whereabouts? At
Pukkelpop.
No way, 2007.
Yeah, it would have been that,
I went to Disney.
I probably actually watched you at that festival.
2006.
I once discussed Buckingham. For Leeds Refectory.
Didn't you get offered Fever Ray?
Oh yeah, we got offered Fever Ray, but the thing about them two was just not the fee, it was the actual
the logistics. Oh yeah, that was amazing at Puka Pop. I don't know what it was like for the rest of the tour, when they had that sort of sheer sheet in front of them, and then there was this weird sort of gothic nativity play going on with the thing turning the crank on the future machine and stuff like that. And all you could see was two red laser dot eyes moving around doing weird stuff behind the screen. It was amazing to watch, and it sounded phenomenal.
So that was like a warehouse, wasn't it?
But it was in a tent. It was like, how are you going to turn this around for the next act?
Yeah.
It was absolutely bonkers at the festival.
It's weird because I saw that in like the August, and then we saw him at Webster Hall in New York in October because we were label mates at that point.
Nice.
You know, just a real wank and everything. And so we were like up on a balcony, kind of almost overlooking the stage. We could kind of see what was going on. It was no less amazing. We could see the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, like they've all got these like neon sticks kind of like doing all the percussion. And
it was probably in there.
It's all pads. And so you could see where we were when I saw them the second time, also kind of knowing what was going on with the projections. I could actually see the two of them actually performing.
Yeah.
And that's weird. I'm talking about watching the two of them perform as it taking it away from the show,
you know what I mean.
But it was truly amazing. Like,
I'm definitely gonna get over to that.
The new album's weird, project though,
sort of thing. Oh yeah, they've always been weird.
Yeah, but yeah, I think the new album. Yeah. Well, the Warehouse project, I'll have to check that out. So, any final words? Because I think we've talked a lot. I mean, I think we've done a purely festival thing.
It's a festival special.
But we've talked about a lot of bands.
Well, there's been quite a lull recently, I think, in the amount of new releases that have come out.
It's what happens in the UK, isn't it? Everyone plays festivals, and it's all about what they're doing for the festival.
Well, I think just before the festival. So like last time we were speaking a month ago, everyone going, what amazing albums come out in the last 3 months, and everyone's going, yeah, these big bands are. And that's because, you know, them artists are going to be playing festivals.
There are still some great records coming out.
And it's a geared round it, but, you know, I think it's all time. And then, obviously, towards the end of the year, there's the rest of the big
album. Yeah, there's a lot planned for
September. There's some smaller stuff that's doing well that seems to be really taking off on the festival circuit, though. People like Public Service Broadcasting.
But there are things that did come out earlier.
Yeah. And then Outfits Records just come out. Or it's streaming on the Guardian website at the moment. I listened to that earlier. Mm. And they're sort of kind of that weirder side of the festival act.
Is there any new Leeds albums out at the moment?
I don't know.
Nothing's slowed to mind.
We've finished the John Gomm album pretty much.
Yeah.
That's going to come out soon, I think.
The Post-War Glamour Girls album's ready. Because they did their preview single in June, which I think you talked about in the last podcast, and I know their album's going to be coming out in the autumn.
The Bodywork album.
No.
That's decent. No. I mean, like for fans of the Knife, that might be quite a good one.
Well, I've seen Beacons have been pushing the Horn and the Hunt.
The Horn, the Hunt.
Their
albums just come out. They play the show that we finished together.
Well, you know, we'll get together on the next pod. We can talk more new bands, more new records. We haven't mentioned the Belgrade Music Hall, which we touched on last time. We can go into that and talk about new releases and some Leeds labels as well. That's the plan. But gentlemen, thank you.
Right, thanks
so much for your time.
Cheers.
Hope the you listener have enjoyed listening, and we'll see you next month.